On friends and family, welcome. We are so excited to have you guys here. Man, my name is Joe Vaughn. I'm one of the pastors here. And man, if you're joining in with us, here's a couple things I want you to do for me. Number one, share this experience. Yes. If you're online, if you're watching with us, share this experience. We want to reach as many people as possible. We believe in our heart of hearts, we are called to reach many and all around us. Also, here's what I want you to do. Get your coffee ready. All right. Get your coffee ready. Get your notes out. Also, get your Bibles as well. We're about to jump right into the worship. God's about to do something in our hearts today, but you have to be expecting of that. God wants to do something in you and through you, and I hope that you would be willing to accept that as we jump right into our worship. We love you guys. Take care. We're about to jump right on in.
Good morning, Christ Church, everybody in the building, out in the parking lot, and everywhere in the world online. Won't you stand if you can, join us as we worship this morning.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, go ahead and take a seat, Christ Church. Good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome, Welcome. We are so excited to have you guys here. All of those who are watching online, what's going on as well? We're so excited to have you guys here. Hey, a couple things I want to let you guys in on. This week is a very special week. This Wednesday, we're going to be having the Lord's Supper via live stream. So we're going to be super excited about that. But also, if you can't join us for Wednesday evening for via live stream Lord's Supper, we're also going to have Lord's Supper this weekend on Saturday. We're going to have an in-person Saturday service. But also, we're all going to have the option of being able to watch it online as well. So if you want to watch via live stream having the Lord's Supper online, go ahead and grab yourself a cup. It'll be right on out there as soon as you guys leave. Hey, guys, also want to let you guys in on a little bit of a secret. Next week, we are having an outdoor service here at the church. We had so much fun last week, service on the square. We're going to have even more fun next week here at the church, 10:30 a.m. Bring your chairs, bring your blankets, bring a friend. You don't want to miss. Yeah, it's going to be an awesome, awesome time. Well, guys, we continue to tell you every week, but we mean it when we say it. Thank you for your generosity. I mean, because of your generosity, because of what you guys have been doing, we are able to do as many things as we need to that we feel like God is calling us to do. If you guys want to know more about giving, guys, there's three ways to give. You can either give online, you can give through the Christchurch app, or as you guys make your way on out, there's going to be giving boxes for you guys as well. Well, before we jump right into the message, I hope your hearts are ready for the message that Doc is going to preach to you today. And I want to read something that's going to help correlate to what Doc's message is all about. John chapter 10, the words of Jesus. I don't know about you, but we need to hear from Jesus more and more today. The words of Jesus, it says it like this: I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay my life down for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them. Listen, they will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. We need to hear that voice more and more today. The voice of truth. Doc's message is going to very much stir up our hearts to help us to understand this is the voice that needs to dominate our hearts more and more in our lives. So I hope that you are ready to receive what God wants us to receive today. And that's what he wants to say to us more and more. Let me say a prayer before we jump back into the worship. Father, it is your voice we need today. Your voice guides us. It leads us. It matures us. It grows us. So Father, we pray that we hear you more than anything right now. We pray that you would use the words that are going to be spoken today to penetrate our hearts, and families will be changed. Marriages will be changed. People will be restored to one another. People will see themselves out of shame, and you would do what only you can do, which to help them to see your grace and your mercy more and more. Because God, we need to hear you more and more. Father, we love you. We thank you. We honor and we glorify you. In Christ's perfect name is who we pray. Amen. Enjoy the rest of the service, guys.
Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious
yours alone now and forever. Love this world could never stop. There is no one like our God, reaching down to touch the broken.
To begin a new sermon series this morning, and I want to talk to you about being countercultural. And I want to say exactly what I mean by that. I believe the church should be countercultural. That doesn't mean I think we should be like Amish people. It does mean that if all the church does is the sociological work of reinforcing the culture, then something's wrong. Being countercultural doesn't mean that we're mad at everybody and yelling at them and telling them what idiots they are. That's not what I mean by countercultural. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying I'm countercultural because I'm pursuing something better than what I think culture is pursuing. There's something better in Jesus Christ than you can find in the cultural fads of any generation. I'm countercultural not because I want to impose an opinion on anybody else. I'm countercultural because I'm trying to pursue something better. And that better is what it is called life in Christ. Life in Christ is better than being culturally cool. I know that's not the word anymore, but that just tells you I'm not cool anymore. Whatever the word is. So let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to teach us. Oh, Lord, you are great. You are majestic. You're noble. You're good. You're kind. You're loving. You're forgiving. You embody all the qualities that are noble and good. And I pray that we could be countercultural because we're pursuing the very best that we find in you. In Christ's name, amen. The word robot first appeared in the English language about 100 years ago. And as you might guess, it was in a science fiction novel. Since that novel 100 years ago, our images of robots have changed. Does anybody remember Danger, Will Robinson, Danger, Danger? That robot was very different than the ones I saw on Star Wars, right? And then the robot in iRobot was very, very different than all the other of them. So this idea of robots has evolved. And one of the things that has evolved with it, they found that if robots look too human, they creep us out. They creep us out because you have hundreds of muscles in your face, and you communicate with your face as much as your words, and robots can't do that, and so they're creepy. So they do things to make them a little less human so they're less creepy. This robot I'm showing here today, this robot's name is Mindar. And you can find it in a Buddhist temple in Japan. The chief priest of this temple said, for years people have come to the temple of Buddha and seen images. And so what we're doing is we're just adding words to the image. This robot represents the Buddhist a deity canon that is a deity of mercy and compassion. And you can go in there several times a day, and the robot speaks. This is what a author in National Geographic said who saw this. Mindar delivers a pre-recorded sermon in a forceful, not quite human female voice, gently gesticulating with her arms and turning her head from side to side to survey the audience. When her eyes fall on you, you feel something, but it isn't intelligence. I find it's a little novel that I'm going to learn mercy and compassion from a robot. Anyone, does that strike you as a little ironic? My point is, the robot speaks with a semi-human voice, and it gives the sayings of Buddha. It's just one of millions of voices out there that are competing for attention. We are bombarded every day with voices. You get in your car, and what do? You turn on a radio. And what happens? Somebody's talking at you, right? I get to work, you're bombarded with different voices. You go out for lunch, you're bombarded with different voices. You watch TV, you're bombarded with different voices. You talk to your friends, another voice. You talk to people who believe something politically different than you do, you hear another voice. We are bombarded all day long with voices. And what happens in culture is these voices start to cluster together, and that creates cultural pressure. When you have enough voices yelling the same thing, you have cultural pressure. And we begin to feel pressed by the culture around us. In all these voices, I want to say there is a voice that is superior to all of them. And if you listen to this voice, you'll be different from culture, but you'll be better. The voice I'm asking you to consider listening to instead of culture is the voice of Jesus Christ. The author of Hebrews, in the very first chapter and the very first paragraph, he said this: long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Do you hear what the author of Hebrews is saying? God has been speaking to humanity for a long time through the prophets. When you read the Bible, you read God speaking to mankind through the prophets. If you open your Bible to Psalms, the psalmists are telling us God's ideas in Psalms. If you turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet is telling us God's ideas, prophet. God has been speaking to humanity all along. But now He's chosen to say the best thing He has to say to humanity, and He's chosen to do it through His Son, Jesus Christ. Throughout all history, God has spoken to us. I believe God speaks to us through history. If you read history, you see cultures collapse from their own wickedness. That's a message from God. I believe God speaks to us through science. I do want to say scientists have opinions too. And because you're a scientist, it doesn't make your political opinion any better than anybody else's, right? Because you're a scientist doesn't mean that everything you say is right, just like the rest of us. I believe God speaks to us through law. I believe He speaks to us through literature and art. I believe if you're listening, God can speak to you in many, many, many interesting ways. But He'll never speak to you more clearly than He does through Jesus Christ. And there's a reason for that. Because Jesus Christ is God and man, He can speak most clearly to us. We believe that Jesus Christ is equal to Almighty God in every way. He's not less than Almighty God. But He chose to take on Himself a human life. So you have a perfect God in a normal man, and that's who Jesus Christ is. And because He's God, He knows the things of God, and because He's man, He knows how to speak to the human heart. No one else can claim to be God and man. So no one else can think the thoughts of God and speak them in a way that humans can understand. I do want to say, to hear Christ's voice requires faith. Faith tunes the human soul to the frequency of God. If people say, I've never heard from God, I don't doubt it. You don't know how to, you have never tuned your heart to hear Him. When people say, I don't know what you're talking about when you say God speaks to us. Well, I believe that. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Your heart has to be tuned by faith if you're going to hear Christ. The author of Hebrews goes on to say, Christ was appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Christ speaks to us best because he created us in his own image. The people you feel close to, you can communicate with better, right? My wife and I have lived together for 48 years. We know each other pretty easy, well, and it's easy for me to communicate with her. Now, somebody I just met yesterday, communicating with them is a little bit harder. We communicate best with people we feel a relationship to. And so God created us in his own image, and because there's something about who you are that is like who God is, Christ can communicate to our hearts in ways that no one else can. He was the appointed heir of all things. Christ can speak to us because he not only created us in his own image, all of history is tending toward the ultimate righteous reign of Jesus Christ. He is the inheritor of all of history. It all ends up with him. Do you understand that? Christ can speak most clearly because he knows where all of this is going. At our very best, we guess. We think this trend is going here. We think it looks like we're trending this way. At our very best, we guess. Jesus Christ doesn't have to guess. He is the originator of all of history, and all of history tends toward him. And so he's able to speak to us more clearly than any other voice. Materialism says life is random and meaningless. There's a voice out there that's screaming at you, young people, and it says your life is random and it really doesn't have any meaning. You're just a biological function that got lucky enough to survive in a universe like this. And your life has no meaning. That voice is yelling at young people. I'm telling you, there is another and better voice. Christ says, you have your origin in his wisdom and your future in his family. You are not random species. You are not random biological functions. There's something very wise behind all of this. And all of this is tending towards something very, very beautiful. The one who understands the beginning from the end, he has a message for us. And his message is, this is all going somewhere, and if you'll listen to me, I'll help you get there. And then the author of Hebrews goes on, verse 3, he is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. I want to talk about the first phrase, he is the radiance of the glory of God. Do you know when you look at the sun, you don't really see the sun, you see its radiance. Now, sometimes on a very cloudy day, you can look at the sun and the clouds filter out the radiance and you can see that big red circle, that's the sun. That blazing big yellow ball up there, that's the radiance of the sun. We don't actually see the sun. We see the what is visible of the sun. Is that making sense to you? We can't see God. No man has seen God at any time. But what is visible about God can be seen in Christ. In Christ, the glory of God becomes visible. Now listen. Because he is what is visible about the glory of God, he's able to communicate with us in ways that no one else can. There's something so glorious and so wonderful and so beautiful about God, but it's beyond us. It's transcendent. My mind isn't able to hold it. But in Christ, all that majesty and wonder of God gets communicated to people who will listen. Church? And then it says, he is the exact imprint of his nature. The word exact imprint is actually the Greek word character. He is the character of the divine nature. If you want to see the divine nature in a human character, it's Jesus Christ. Can you hear this? The nature of God becomes visible and tangible in Jesus Christ. When Christ speaks to you, he's speaking of the nature of God. Do you want to know what God thinks about? Listen to Christ. Do you want to know how God feels? Listen to Christ. In Jesus Christ, I know what God is thinking about, and I know how God is feeling because Christ communicates that to us. Apart from Christ, I don't know what he's thinking, and I can't tell what he's feeling. And then the author of Hebrews says, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Christ is worth listening to because what he says sustains the universe. We have an election coming up in 60 days. I've voted in every presidential election since 1972. I got it right sometimes, I got it wrong sometimes. But here's what's common in every election. This is the most important election in the history of the United States of America. Now, I've heard that since 1972. Yes, I know it's the most important election for you, but that doesn't mean it's the most important election in human history. Right? And then what do they add to that? If I'm not elected, America will collapse. There'll be no country here. Your life will be mayhem. And all the candidates say it. If you listen, they all say it. I am so important, if you don't elect me, your life will be over. It'll be the end of the world. All right. Turns out America has lived through some pretty bad presidents, and it didn't come all crashing down. Thank God the founding fathers got some things right. Church, please listen. Politicians don't hold the world together by the word of their power. Maybe their ego makes them think they do, but they don't hold the world together. We've had bad presidents and the world survived. We've had good presidents and things didn't seem to get much better. Can you hear me? The voices that are yelling at you, I'm the one who holds this together, you need me, they are inferior to the voice of the one who really does hold it together, and that's the voice I need to listen to most clearly. Christ says to humanity, I have an authoritative word for you. It is not the one who yells the loudest in the streets or breaks the most windows and lights the most fires. It's not the one who points to their power and their position. It's not the one who claims the advantages of wealth and status. It is the one who speaks with the authority of God. All other voices pass away with time, but Christ speaks with the authority of the eternal God, and he should be listened to for that very reason. It is dangerous to ignore the voice of the one who sustains the universe by the word of his power. And then we come to the part of this that I like the very best. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This is the part I like the best. Christ has a better word for us than culture. He has a better word. We live in the cancellation culture. Have you heard this term? You do one thing that makes somebody mad, and your whole life is canceled. You're out. You misspeak, and you're fired. We live in the cancellation culture. We are a culture that has lost the value of forgiveness. Can you hear this? There's not enough forgiveness out there. What there is there is too much blame and too much shame. Church, I'm telling you, I want something better than the blame and shame of culture. I want to hear a word of forgiveness. Church, I don't want to hear you made a mistake, you're canceled. I don't want to hear that you didn't do something perfectly, so nothing you do matters. Church, we're bombarded with that message from our culture, but there is a different message from Jesus Christ. And his message says, even if you get soiled living in life, if you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Do you hear that? Christ doesn't cancel anyone. If you think you can survive in this world and not get stained by sin, you have deceived yourself. The world is polluted, and we get bombarded with that pollution. My friend Jim and I were talking before the early service. It's become more and more common on regular TV to hear people take the Lord's name in vain. I don't want to hear it. I'm not watching TV to hear the Lord's name in vain. And I thought there used to be rules about what you could say on public airways, but I hear it more and more. We get stained by the world around us. But Christ has a word. It's a word of forgiveness. If you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You who read the Gospels, on multiple occasions, Jesus looked at people and said, your sins are forgiven. And the religious and the culture around him, they were livid. They said, what do you think you're doing? Forgive sins. You don't forgive sins. We don't do that in this culture. And Jesus said, you need to know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. And that's why I said, your sins are forgiven. Church, I don't know about you, but I need the better word of forgiveness. I need the better word of forgiveness. I can be condemned anywhere. But Christ whispers to the human soul, and he says, your sins are forgiven. This is what he says. I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. That's what Jesus said. That's his better word. Now, some of you came in here this morning, and you've carried it with you. It's a shame. It's a regret. It's a sorrow about something you did that you have a hard time getting over. Or something you didn't do that you have a hard time getting over. And culture doesn't have anything to say to you that can reach that spot. But I'm telling you, there is a majestic Jesus Christ who cares for your soul infinitely more than you can imagine. And for that regret, for that shame, for that wounded spot in your heart, he has a better word. And his better word is, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Can you hear me, church? He has a better word than the culture around us. The culture around us says you're canceled. The culture around us says, I'm going to blame this on you. The culture around you is a finger pointing. But Christ comes in with the gentle heart of grace and kindness, and he says, I forgive you. You're cleansed. The thing that is such a burden to you, I cleanse it. I don't forgive it. I wash it away. I remove it as far as the east is from the west. Church, I don't know about you, but I need that better word. Now, I need to talk to some of you who don't think you need that. Here's a word from Jesus Christ. Two men went to the synagogue to pray. One of them was a Pharisee. When it was time to pray, he walked right in front of the whole church, raised his cocky head, and said, Dear God, I thank you that I'm not like all these losers. I do this and I do that. Jesus said there was a tax collector who stood at the very back of the synagogue. He couldn't even raise his head. And he smote his chest, and all he could whisper in prayer was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, which of those two went home right with God that day? Do you hear this, church? Everyone in this room, whether you know it or not, you need a word of forgiveness. And if you don't think you do, you're really in trouble. The more you know you need it, the more you're willing to listen to the forgiving kindness of Jesus Christ. Would you let me add to this, church? If Christ can forgive us that way, don't you think we need to be a little more generous with our own forgiveness? Church, don't you really think it's time for some of you to let it go? As Christ has spoken the word of forgiveness to you, you need to speak the word of forgiveness to others. It is a beautiful thing. It is a wonderful, God-like thing. But it doesn't just say that he purifies us from sin. It says another thing. He sat down on the right hand of majesty. Right now, today, the Christ who wants to speak to your heart is seated at the majestic presence of the Almighty God. And I know what he's doing there. The Apostle Paul told us. He ever lives to make intercession for the saints. Right now, today, this Christ, who I would like you to listen to, is seated in majesty, wonder, and glory in heaven. And he has one thing that keeps him busy all day long. He's making intercession for us. He's saying to God, these are our people. I love them. How can we bless them? These are our people. They're in difficult times. How can we strengthen them? These are our people. They are confused. How can we guide them? He ever lives to make intercession for the saints. And so when he speaks to you, he's speaking from a heart that every day communicates with the majesty of God, bringing the goodness, the grace, the kindness of God to us. He's worthy of listening to. Church, if you feel like no one has your back, if you feel like you're alone in this, if you feel like you're surrounded on every side, I ask you to listen with the ears of your heart, because there is someone who's whispering to you and saying, I got you. I got this covered. I have spoken to the majestic God, and we will never leave you or forsake you. Church. And so this is what I'm asking. I'm asking, are you listening? If I passed out a sheet of paper and said, write on this paper how many minutes you listened to the radio last week and how many minutes did you try to listen to Christ last week, what would those numbers look like? If I ask you to write on a sheet, how many hours did you watch TV last week and how many hours did you spend trying to listen to Jesus Christ, what would that look like? My young friends, if I ask you, how many hours did you play video games last week compared to how many minutes you tried to listen to Christ, what would that number look like? See, it's not a question of, is he talking? It's a question of, are we listening? And I need to remind you that he doesn't shout. He speaks with, listen, a still, small voice. Can you hear that? If you're going to listen to Christ, you have to be still and know that I am God. And he whispers to the human heart when it quiets itself and when it tunes into the frequency of God by faith. And when it's really interested and longing to hear the forgiveness, the blessing, the kindness, the encouragement, and the wisdom that only Christ can speak. And so, if we're going to be countercultural, it won't be because we have a bunch of different religious rules than everybody. It'll be because we're listening and being convinced by a better voice. Our dear Heavenly Father, for all the times I didn't listen, for all the times I didn't want to listen, for all the times I thought I was too busy to listen, I'm very sorry. And I pray for myself, and I pray for this good church. I pray that your Holy Spirit would stir up within us a new appreciation for the voice of Jesus Christ. I pray that we'd have a new inclination to create some quiet time where we try to listen. And we say those simple words, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Then I pray that we could hear your voice in a persuasive way, and we would be pursuing something better, and our better quality of life would be an inspiration to the culture around us. And I ask it through Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in. How special was that message, man? I don't know about you, but that's something I need to listen to constantly and daily in my life. I need to hear a better voice because I'm hearing all the wrong voices. And sometimes the wrong voices sends me in the wrong direction. It sends me in a direction of anxiety, sends me in a direction of loneliness, sends me in a direction when I'm just feeding myself lies. And I don't know about you, but Doc spoke a word to us that we need to be in a habit. We need to get into a habit of listening to a voice that gives us nothing but truth. And that voice is nothing but Christ himself. That's a voice that will continuously will lead us and guide us, encourage us, and better us for the good. Well, why do we need to listen to this voice? Doc said it himself. His voice is better because he knows all. The scripture tells us and it reminds us that God himself sustains the world by his word. Think about that for 2 seconds. The God who created all, the God who gives breath to all, the God who makes the sun rise and the sun fall, the God who sustains all the order of the world is the same God who sustains you and I personally as well. Well, how does he do that? Through his voice. So let me ask you this question. What voices are you listening to more and more these days? And let me ask you an even better question. Where is that voice leading you? Where is that voice getting you? How is that voice helping you? Doc challenged us with something pretty amazing. He says, how often do we take time to listen to something better? I think we make more room for the worst things. Things like the TV, things like radio, things like politicians and all those things. And they have its place, but it never trumps the one place. And that's the voice of Christ that builds, that sustains, that strengthens, but most importantly, that guides. So my challenge to you and Doc's challenge to you as well is that you would hear the voice that matters, the voice of truth. God is speaking to us. The question is, are you listening? The question is, are we tuning in and are we leaning in and are we listening? Because God speaks to all of us and many of us in plenty and different ways. God wants to speak something to you and I. He wants us to know I'm in control. I know all things. I'm before all things. I created all things. So since you know those things, let this voice enter your hearts. Peace, rest, stillness, calm. Let that voice be the voice that trumps all voices. I want to say a prayer over each and every one of you. What voice has been dominating your life today? What voice has been dominating your heart more and more? What voice is the voice that is leaving you in a place of confusion, leaving you in a place of stress? Here's what I want to ask you. Would you be willing to listen to something better? Would you be willing to listen to something that grows and that strengthens and that encourages? But see, that's the voice of Christ. He wants to speak to his children, but he wants to know if his children are willing to listen, if his children are willing to lean in today. So I want to say this prayer, and this would be a prayer that you would be guided by the right voice, a better one. Heavenly Father, it is your voice and your voice alone I want to hear. It is your voice and your voice alone that needs to speak to me. It is your voice and your voice alone that needs to have its throne within my heart. It is your voice alone that needs to dominate every aspect within me. So would you please help me to quiet all the noise of anxiety, the noise of insecurity, the noise of those things that leave me in a desperate space. But I pray that your voice will elevate me in certain ways, that you would do what only you can do, which is restore me, which is redeem me, which is heal me, and help me get into the direction that I need to go within my heart, within my mind, within my spirit, within my soul. Would you please help my brothers and my sisters that are watching this today, that are listening to the voice of shame, that are listening to the voice of anger, that are listening to the voice of blame, and they will listen to your voice, which is the name above all names. Father, I thank you, and I'm grateful for you. I love you, and I honor you. Help me to lean to something better. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, hey, guys, I also want to remind you, next week we have our outdoor service here at the church, 10:30. 10:30 a.m. Bring your clothes. Bring your chairs. Bring your blankets. Bring your friend. Bring whoever you want to bring. We are excited to have you guys there with us. May the Lord be with you guys. Take care.